And our reading from God's Word comes this morning from the 51st Psalm, Psalm 51. And just being a little bit conscious of time this morning, I would have liked to have read to you as well from 2 Samuel 11 and 12 to give the historical context, but that time doesn't allow for that, so I would encourage you maybe at home to read 2 Samuel 11, certainly, and also 12 as well, for the history behind this psalm. So let's read at Psalm 51, verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, that you may be found just when you speak, blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Well, may the Lord bless the words of that psalm to our hearts, and we will come back to consider that in a little while. Well, come back with me, if you will, to Psalm 51, and this is, in a sense, the psalm of penitence, isn't it? It sees David in great anguish of soul. And the context for all of that, of course, as I've already said, is in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. First of all, in 2 Samuel 11, David's dastardly deeds recorded there in that chapter. And then in chapter 12, Nathan the prophet coming and offering to Daniel a way of escape. And this is David's response as he realizes the depth and the gravity of his own great sin. And Psalm 51, I think, has two divisions. Somebody may disagree, but as I see it anyway, I see two divisions in this psalm. Verses 1 to 9, then, first 9 verses deal with David's cry for pardon. He is in deep conviction of sin. And you'll remember, of course, that story that he's committed adultery, hasn't he, with Bathsheba, and he's conspired then to have Uriah, her husband, murdered. And then in chapter 12, his sin is exposed by Nathan. David has now come fleeing to God, aware that he urgently needs forgiveness. And he comes seeking mercy. And we've traced his repentance, really, in a sense. We can trace it in three movements here. Remember, and have a look at verses 1 and 2 with me. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins. There's a great number of words here that relate to the cleansing and removal of sin, blotting out, the washing away, the cleansing of the human soul by God, the mercy of God, all within the context of the mercy of God. But actually, David does something here as well, which you might also almost say is a little bit cheeky. He comes and he reminds God of his own nature and character. He comes to God and he says to him, God, you are God, and you should have mercy upon me according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. There's a sense in which David is reminding God of his own word and reminding God of his own nature and character. And that's a reminder for us, in a sense, today, isn't it? Of the holy nature of God, that we ought to do in our lives everything possible to avoid sin ourselves and to avoid habitual sin ourselves, but to live our lives in perfect obedience to God's word. But there's another thing to that as well, and it is this, that due to our own natures, we know that we will never in this life be free from the constraints of sin, and therefore we need to find a way in which to deal with the consequences of guilt upon our own selves. And it is this, I think, that David in one way is doing here. He is finding a way in God to deal with the matter of his own guilt. He recognizes freely, and the first, of course, in the title of this sermon this morning is guilt. The first word is guilt. How do we deal with our own guilt? Well, I think this psalm is a wonderful example to us of how David dealt with his own guilt. He comes and he pleads with God according to his own nature and character. God, you are the one who has said that you will have mercy upon the penitent, repentant sinner. Lord, according to thy mercy, according to your own word, therefore, please have mercy upon me, a sinner. And then you notice, secondly, the acknowledgement that David makes in the following verses, verses 3 to 6. He then comes to a sense of confession and repentance, which is the second word in our title this morning. He faces his sin honestly, doesn't he? He faces all of that very honestly. I guess that Nathan's parable to him in 2 Samuel chapter 12 was quite powerful. And he was brought to face his own sin into a very tight corner, and he was unable to provide any defense for himself. So the prophet of God has been used of God in order to bring the man or the king's sin to bear upon himself. So David, verses 3 to 6, he faces his sin very honestly. And that's always what we must do. We must face our sins honestly. We must face our own lack before God sincerely and reverently before him, recognizing his holy nature. And he confesses its nature. He confesses the source of this sin, and he confesses the ugliness of this sin. The source of the sin, of course, is that, David says, is that he is by nature a sinner from the very beginning. Surely I was sinful at birth, he says. Sinful not only from birth, but from the time that I was conceived. And then he comes and he acknowledges before God that it is against God, against you, you only have I sinned. There's a great polluting power, you see, to sin, isn't there? There's a great polluting. And I know that this morning you might be thinking, well, you know, what is sin? Sin is a great big term and it encompasses anything and everything in the human nature. Yes, it does. But sin is also that particular thing that you may be struggling with in your own life. And you know that it's displeasing to the Lord. And it may only be one particular thing, or it may be a couple of things. You may have struggled for many years with it. And yet it seems that throughout David's history, his life history up to this point in time, he's been a very godly man. But how quickly he falls into the polluting power of sin, and how quickly sin drags him down under. And there's a warning here for us, isn't there, in our own everyday, ordinary lives, that we cannot open the door of our souls to sin, to any pleasure that is contrary to the pleasure of God and to the nature of God. We cannot even leave that door ajar an inch to that. It must be stood upon, and we must oppose it immediately, because it can get the better of the best of us. And this is what has happened in Psalm 51 and in 2 Samuel, of course, here in the story of this man and this king. A godly man destroyed in a second sets around him a chain of awful events. And he says, look, Lord, I'm facing my sin. I've come with confession. I realize what I've done. I know that I've given in to this one lust, and it has destroyed me. And it has polluted my spirit. And what I want from you now is to be made pure again. And then in verses 7 to 9, you can see that David trusts in the atonement of God, doesn't he? Cleanse me with hyssop, he says. Well, that's a clear reference back to the Old Testament, isn't it? For the priest's use of the hyssop plant in the worship of God. He speaks about being cleansed with this plant. He's thinking about that sacrificial system in the Old Testament church, whereby before the people of God, the priest makes use of this very plant. It was used as a brush to sprinkle the blood of the sacrificial victim. And he's thinking about the atoning sacrifice of God, and he's almost certainly thinking about Christ here, isn't he? Hundreds of years before the advent of Christ into the world, yet he's drawing upon the covering of Christ of his sin. And he's pointing, isn't he, to Jesus and to his great sacrifice. And he's pointing to the Lamb of God, whose blood is able to atone for our very sins this morning, and for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at verses 10 to 12, because we need to look at our own hearts here this morning. We need to be focusing inwardly, in a sense, from this psalm. The inward focus of David's prayer in verses 1 to 9, he's asked for forgiveness for the offence his sin has given to God. The judicial implications of David's sin have been answered. They've been answered in God, in Christ. But what about the root of the problem? That's the question. And that's the question for us today. The root of the problem needs to be dealt with. I have some weeds on my lawn, and I know that if I just mow over the top of them and cut them down, it looks better for a while. And it'll look quite nice and neat, but I always know that that thing is still there. Until the day that eventually I have enough of looking at that thing, and I just want to see a nice grassed over lawn. And so I go and I pluck it out. I take my fork and I pull it out to rid the lawn of that weed. The root of the problem must be dealt with. The root of sin must be dealt with. And it is that which David is doing in this psalm here today. He turns to the source from which his sin flows. He focuses on his own heart. And that is the source of all human sin, the human heart. The human heart is darkened and in rebellion towards God. And from that inward look comes the words, Lord, please then create in me a pure heart, in verse 10. That's his response. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Isn't that a prayer for all of us here this morning? That the Lord would create a pure heart in you and in me, so that we might please the Lord in everything. Our sin arises from the heart, doesn't it? And David, of course, makes mention of that earlier on in the psalm, where he says, surely in verse 5, I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. He goes back to the essential element of the absolute sinfulness of the human nature in every single part. We have been polluted by this nature in every single part from the beginning of human history. But there's a wonder this morning, isn't there, in this psalm as well. There's a wonder, there's a way out of this. There is a way out of this terrible curse upon humanity. We know, don't we, that the biblical standard is this. How do we measure our own progress in the faith? How do we measure conversion? How do we know that we belong to the Lord, that we are truly converted, and that our hearts have been cleansed by him? Well, Jesus said this, didn't he? No good tree bears bad fruit. Nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil person, out of evil treasure, produces evil. That's the standard of Jesus. That's the standard of the Bible. And as I've said before, sin is like that dandelion that grows in the middle of your perfect lawn. You chop it down again and again, and as often as you like, and back it comes. It's persistent. It remains with you. And it'll grow back unless you deal with the root. When we repent truly, as David is doing here, we come to the Lord seeking, well, something that we hear of very often in these days, a heart transplant. We come seeking a new heart, and it is only God that can give the believer a new heart. We come seeking heart surgery. But it's a spiritual surgery, isn't it? It's a heart, it's the soul surgery. And it is out of that that David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Genesis chapter 1, and we see God's creation of all things out of nothing in 6 days. And it's here again referring to that sovereign creating power of God that brings order out of chaos and that brings darkness, light out of darkness. It brings wonderful things out of nothing. It creates the human race to be the pinnacle of God's creation. And David here goes to the source, and I would encourage you this day to see God in this way. He's the one who has created the world and all that is in it. He's the one that has created you. And therefore, in your struggle against sin, you are to go back and to speak with him. David is not asking here for some kind of remedial action. He's not speaking here or asking for, the spiritual equivalent of a nice fresh lick of paint. No, he's not asking for a makeover either. He's asking for total renewal. He's asking for total forgiveness. He's talking about a totally new heart. And it's really vital here that we, as we hear David's prayer here this morning, that all of us can answer the question, and the question is this: do I then have this new heart? Can I say in unison with David, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me? Because, in a sense, I know that if you don't, then one day I will be cast away from your presence. I will be taken away from your presence, and I will suffer an eternity which is entirely Christless. Not only that, but in darkness and in suffering in hell. I'm not asking about your particular behaviour this morning when I say, do I have a new heart? It isn't your behaviour that I'm considering especially. But I'm asking about you, about yourself, about your soul, about your own assurance of salvation. I'm asking about the fact, can you confidently say with hand on heart, forgive the pun, that I know Christ, that I know the Lord Jesus, that I have an absolute assurance of my eternal destiny, that I will be with Christ forever when I die and when I depart from this world. You see, at funerals, and I've conducted 2 funerals already this year, we're always reminded of the brevity of life and the length of eternity. We're always reminded of the fact that God in his grace gives out the gospel and gives out an opportunity for all men and women to turn to him in Christ through the message of the good news of the gospel in this life, while there is opportunity. And we're always also sadly reminded that there are many who continue to refuse the offer of God's free grace. If you went to the hospital and the cardiologist came to you and said, well, look, Mr. or Mrs. so-and-so, you need a new heart and you need it right now. We're going to make an appointment for you and immediately you're going to be going into the theatre to have your heart replaced. Would you say, well, I don't believe you. I don't really think it's that urgent. I feel okay. Let's put it off for 6 months and let's see what happens. Would you do that? No, of course you wouldn't. And it's the same here. In fact, it is even more real with this issue of the heart and of eternal life this morning. These things are of eternal weight. And I cannot impress upon you this morning that action is required. Action is required for the man or woman who is yet to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Without it, you are lost, you see. What does being lost mean? Well, it means that you will be outside of Christ, that your eternal destiny will not be in heaven. And the Bible speaks of both. And the justice of God means that there will always be a judging of those who have lived for the Lord and pleased him and in obedience to him, and those who have refused the work of Christ. The two places, well, heaven and hell, are reserved for both, whomever it is, and however that they have responded to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the implication this morning from this psalm is, take immediate action in terms of your spiritual heart, of your spiritual case. What is your condition? Can you say, without any doubt, that I have a new heart, that I know Christ, that I love the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'm assured of life with him? Because that's what you need, and without it, you will perish. You will perish in your sins, and what an awful eternity that will be for you. What an awful eternity that will be. God, you see, can give you a new heart this morning. The wonder of this is that we are not left in our sins. We're not left without any hope. Though we might see a psalm like this and we might wonder at the tragedy of what has happened, it reads almost like some of Shakespeare's tales, doesn't it? There's tragedy here. But different to Shakespeare, there's great hope as well. There is a way out. There is an answer. There is a reply from God. And the reply is this, found in David's words. O God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, create in me a clean, new heart. Renew my spirit, O Lord. But even after God has done that miraculous renewing and transforming work, even for a mature believer like David, this prayer is still an appropriate prayer for us as believers to make. Create in me a clean heart. We all need clean hearts, don't we? We need a church that is filled with clean hearts, always looking to the Holy Spirit to give us cleansing, to overthrow sin's remnants and to generate godliness in us and with us. Obedience is never simply a matter of course. It has to be worked at. And it is always the produce of the work of God's Spirit. It's always the produce of the work of God's Spirit. The desire for holiness, the desire for righteousness. And in this psalm, you see, there's so much. We could preach for weeks on this psalm. Do you desire the Lord this morning, believer? Christian, has your love for the Lord grown dim? Has your love for the Lord grown cold? Again, meditate upon this psalm and see David's zeal for the Lord, his love for Jesus Christ, his love for God and the things of God. And ask that the Spirit might come and that he might liven you to a zealous walk with him again. Do you weep for your heart? Do you weep for your sins in this day? But that's always a measure, you see, of where people are at. Do we weep for ourselves? Do we come to the Lord and do we feel a sense that David is feeling at the beginning of this psalm here? Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Have mercy upon me because of my many and great sins. Because my heart is always inclined to the things that are contrary to your nature, I'm filled with lust. I'm filled with selfishness. I'm filled with pride every day. And, oh Lord, would you come and would you minister to me by your Holy Spirit? Well then, my encouragement to you is, as much as is possible, as much as is possible, sit under the preached word of God. Come to the fellowship of believers every time they meet. Be with the people of God. Don't be that coal that removes itself from the fire. By all means, read great Christian books. And there's a stall of them at the back there that are waiting to be read. And seek to serve one another, to love one another. Seek to be a member of the church. And seek to serve the church and to help in every way the progress of the gospel. But in all things, my time is gone, seek in yourself the power of the Spirit of God and come to God and do what David has done. Reply to the Lord and answer the Lord and call upon the Lord according to his own nature. But come reverently and very carefully when you do that. Don't treat God as your buddy or your pal. God is God and he is other than us. He is different to us. But come in the power of the Spirit. Cry to him, call to him, cling unto him. Seek him and pray with David from this psalm, O God, today. I do need a clean heart, create it within me and renew a right spirit within me. Well, may the Lord help us all to do that and help you in your struggle with sin every day, that you might be able to do that from the word of God this day. Amen.